Good morning and welcome to Burlington East. Please be seated. For those that don't know me, my name is Bob Dickerson, and I'm one of the elders here at the church. And I'd like to extend a special welcome to any visitors that would be with us here today and invite you to join us for fellowship after the service in the lower hall directly below us. And if you don't mind, please sign our guest book, which is found by the front door. There's just a couple of announcements I'd like to bring to your attention. First, in the bulletin is Boy Scouts and the maple syrup orders. The order forms are on the table back in the narthex. You have 2 weeks to get those into the church office. They will be picking them up on the 15th or Monday the 16th kind of thing. So go out there, get your forms filled out, get them into Renata in the office. The other thing is I'd like to just remind you that this year's World Day of Prayer service is being held here at Burlington East. Audrey Cerrone has been doing a lot of work to get ready for that, put a lot of effort into it, and so I'd like to encourage one and all to attend that service if you could. Let's fill the sanctuary if we can. And the third piece I want to comment on at this point is the photo directory. We've been working on a photo directory. Some of you know that we've been working on the photo directory. And we have printed a draft copy of the directory. But when we looked at that, we thought maybe there's a few photos in there that people would say, I'm not sure I want that photo published of me. And so as we reflected on that a bit more, we said, you know, we missed a step along the way. We didn't give you a chance to approve the photo that we were going to use. So as a result, we've put a pause. We've hit the big pause button. And Renata will lead Jane and I and herself through a process that we come back and we give you a chance to approve the photo that we're going to use. And if you don't like it, we'll get rid of it, and you can either provide us one or we will do a retake for you. So just wanted to give you an update on the photo directory, and that's where we're at on it, and so don't be panicked. So with that, let's just take a moment to get ready for the service.
I'd light the Christ candle this morning as we begin our Lenten journey as a reminder that Christ lights the way for us all the way through this time of reflection and prayer. And we'll come together now in our responsive call to worship.
People of God, on this wilderness journey, what will you eat? People of God, in this time of temptation, how will you live? People of God, at this kingdom crossroad, whom will you serve? Our first hymn is number 267, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Please be seated. Happy are those whose sin is forgiven, who no longer suffer in silence but name their sin and seek God's grace. Let's bow our heads for our prayer of adoration and confession. Wild God of wilderness, we, as we come to you to devote these next 40 or so days, help shape us by your Holy Spirit into that image of Christ, so that we may be ready by your grace to confront the power of death with the promise of eternal life. Lord, you bless us with so much in so many different ways, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your intervention in our lives through prayer, through action, through word. Lord, we also come before you now this morning because we want to walk in your way in all that we do. Lord, you know the things that can cause us to stumble, that tempt us, literally speaking, and the things that truly can give us life. You know us, Lord. You know our hearts intimately. Therefore, Lord, you know those secret dark places that we hide. And they may not be vastly great things, but there's some things that we try to hide from your presence and the presence of others. At this time, Lord, we come before you this morning to confess those moments where we're hiding, those moments where instead of bringing into the light, we hide in the darkness. In that light, Lord, we confess that there are times, many times, that we've disobeyed your word. We've denied your way and tried to rely on our own cleverness, a cleverness that really pales before you. Have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. Cover us with your grace. And as we begin again this journey of Lent and we start our Sunday off with communion, feed us with the bread of life and recreate us truly in your image. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As we'll see in our psalm, happy are those whose sin is forgiven. We all can be glad in the Lord and shout for joy because in Jesus Christ we truly are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir. That's a wonderful piece that introduces our Lenten journey and our communion service this morning. Our children's hymn today is I Danced in the Morning. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 and then take a short break. I'm going to ask the children to stay where they're seated for this morning's time. And we do have a couple of things that we wanted to share during our children's time. So we'll sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn 250 and then we'll have a time together. Please be seated. I'm going to say a couple of months. I don't know if it was that long ago, but maybe it was more than a couple of months anyway. We had a special presentation done by Richard Duncan from Knox Presbyterian here in town about a particular need that was brought to our attention for Canada Youth and getting some Indigenous youth to get to go to Canada Youth from Winnipeg. And thankfully, all of you, really felt that touch your heart and moved forward. Richard's here this morning to receive the result of that and to give us some news. I'm going to call on Richard and Bob to come up for a moment. Bob, you can grab that mic, and you can say what you need to.
Step down a little bit.
So Richard, on behalf of Burlington East, I am thrilled to present Knox Presbyterian Church this check for what we called CY 2020, as Sue referenced it, for $7,565.
Very well done. Thank you. By the way, before Richard speaks, he's got a horrible cold, so we're all staying our distance from Richard this morning because we love Richard, but we don't want to share. And so that Richard will be here for our service, but please, no shaking hands with Richard this morning.
You don't want this.
No.
I'll try and keep this short for my voice, if no other reason. When I started this, I had a hope and a prayer that we could get 4 or 5 of these children, of these teens, to Canada Youth. And I've got to say, you guys are amazing. You and the people of Knox are awe-inspiring. Thanks to your generosity, your love, your support, your faith, we're sending all of them. We have met our goal. And it has nothing to do with me and everything to do with you. And none of it would happen without you. Thank you.
Knox raised money as well, just so we can say
yes
that they did that. How much did they raise?
$12,000.
There you go, folks. So really pulled between the two congregations.
You all of you have been amazing. I'd like to say I'm speechless, but obviously not. I hope to gather a few carloads of you and of my congregation when the time comes and to drive to St. Catharines to meet these teens, so that you get to know them and they get to know us, and hopefully, God willing, we can build some connections, some bridges, and continue this association. And again, thank you.
Thank you again, Richard.
You want to write that down?
Thank you. We'll join together now. We'll sing the verse 3 of hymn number 250, A Dance in the Morning, verse 3. And as they do that, we'll dismiss the children for Sunday school. I think I surprised Michelle. She had to rush in and get her kind of her choir gown. That's all right. We got that organized. We come before God now to hear God's word read and to be taught accordingly. And as we do prepare for that, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Let's bow our heads for a short word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word that feeds us. And during this time of Lent, especially, Lord, we ask that these moments where we're taking time to delve into your word, that you truly can speak to our soul. Calm our minds and hearts, Lord, to listen for your voice and speak to us as each of us needs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All four of our readings today directly relate to this time of Lent and the journey in which we are beginning, a time of reflection and a time of introspection in so many ways. And in that sense, that will be the introduction that I want to provide for all four scriptures that we're reading. So let's join together in our Psalters for our responsive Psalm, Psalm number 32.
Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not hide my iniquity. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not let a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you.
Thank you, Bob. Our Old Testament reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 2, beginning on page 2. That's starting at verse 15, reading through some selected verses. This reading is important in our time of Lent, especially because it's the discussion between the serpent and Adam and Eve, or Eve in particular, what's going on there, and God's instruction. And we want to parallel this with the temptation of Jesus that we'll be reading about in Matthew. Genesis 2, beginning at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Verse down to chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they saw this, they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. A New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. It's page 156, New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. And Romans, I know, is a challenge for us to read because Paul is laying out some logical steps, and they do tend to get a little bit confusing in what he's saying. But if we follow the flow, we can see what the point that he's trying to make. And he's referring specifically to this episode that takes place in Genesis and to Jesus' life as well. Romans 5, beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who is to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift flowing many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." And our gospel reading today is taken from Matthew 4. This is well known by all of us, the temptation of Jesus. And I want you to take and listen carefully to the logic reflected again back to the conversation in the Garden of Eden. The temptation that's taking place is all wound up in a sort of a truth. There's a truth in what's being said. And where Adam and Eve stumbled, Jesus clearly doesn't. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you, if you fall down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him." This is the word of God. We'll join together now and sing our next hymn, number 352, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of this hymn. "And Can It Be," verses 1, 2, and 3. Please be seated. Lent begins, begun on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and continues basically for 40 days. It's a little more than 40 days because the Sundays aren't necessarily counted, and that we'll explore that a little bit. But Lent is, Lent and Easter are by far, as I mentioned last Sunday, the most important, this is the most important time of the Christian's calendar for us. Christmas has become, over time, more and more and more sort of blown up and important because there's a secular attachment to that, clearly because we can give gifts, and that's why the businesses and whatnot get behind that. But Easter for us is this time of, especially during Lent, a time of reflection, a time of preparation, and continuing on through to Easter. I was looking for some sort of an analogy that I could use to help illustrate this idea of the journey. And in past years, I've used all kinds of different things. We talked about traveling through the desert, and at one point, I know, and we had a little car. I remember tracing the letters of Lent to give that idea that we're going somewhere. And as I got thinking about that over the course of this week in particular, something came to mind. I think everybody is... I always hate to start a sentence off that way. I know everybody's probably done this, but when I say that, we're hearing whistling from the wind, I think. the Spirit of God is blowing amongst our midst. What if we kill my mic? Not it? Okay, well, we'll just live with it. As I started to say, I think when I say everybody's probably done this at some point, there's always somebody in the crowd who says, well, I've never done that. But I think most of us have ridden on a bus at some point, whether it was a school bus when we were kids, whether it was a transit bus when we were grown-ups, whether it was a GO bus getting back and forth to work, or maybe a Greyhound bus going on a trip. A bus ride was something that came to mind, so I made up this little pretend ticket, and it's this. It says the Easter coach lines, the ticket for the route is Lent to Easter Sunday, and each of the Sundays along is a little punch hole that we could represent as our stopovers as we're moving through Lent. And I was going to print up a copy for everybody. I thought, no, we don't need to go and do all that. That's nice, but we'll save our paper and our fridges for now because I know that's where I put mine. But the idea is we're on a journey. And for me personally, as I got thinking about this, probably up until just before I got married, I didn't drive a car. I rode a bike a lot, but most of the time I traveled by bus. And as I spent some time reflecting on this time for Lent, that particular image came to my mind. It was an image of waiting for a bus, and that seems to be a very Canadian thing, or certainly Toronto, Hamilton, GTA kind of thing to do, is waiting for a bus. If you travel by bus, you spend a lot of time waiting. And I remember when a friend of mine had gone over to Paris, I sent him a picture of me standing at a bus stop, looking down the road, so he'd remember what it was like to be in Canada, and particularly from where we were, because you're always looking down the road for is the bus coming yet? There are lots of times when I got reflecting on those moments in my life where, because I was waiting so much, and because I was sitting on the bus traveling from places, there was a lot of time for sort of inner reflection. Now remember, this is before there were cell phones and MP3 players and whatever else. You had to stick earphones in your head and listen to other things and look at the videos online. You were there with a book maybe to read, or you were just there maybe chatting with somebody that you maybe have known. But if you're traveling by yourself, there was a lot of time just, you know, looking out the window and thinking. Thinking about where you were going, thinking about where you are at this particular moment. And that whole image got me really thinking about our Lenten journey. Lent is a time when we're going somewhere. The destination for all of us is Easter Sunday. And we know what that destination looks like. Everybody in this room does. We've been there so many times in that sense. But we're beginning that journey once again. We're beginning that journey today, this first Sunday of Lent, as if we're standing at that bus stop getting on board the bus. And the journey's about to begin. journey is about to take place. It's a time for us to sit quietly and think about not only where we're going, but where we are at the moment, where we've been in the past. Lent is a time truly of introspection and reflection. Now, Advent at Christmas is supposed to be the same thing. And that's why Advent got put onto the Christmas holiday, so to speak. Advent and Lent, they're not biblically founded in any way, but other than these references that we've already read about Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, we're going to be taking that same time period, giving up things as Jesus gave up eating during that time, was on to spend more time with God. And as I mentioned last week, I know I did, that there are many times when we're thinking of giving something up for Lent, because that's sort of the overall tradition with Lent, to give up something, give up chocolate or give up smoking, it would have been, I guess, long term ago, or give up television or give up whatever it may be. Probably, as I mentioned also last week, one of the most expensive things that we have today, or most costly thing that we have, is our time. And anybody here, and if I look around the room, we've all been aware of how much time costs. You know, we're involved in church, we're involved in other activities with our family, we're involved in volunteer things all over the place. Everybody here has been doing that or has done that in the past. And time is expensive. There's no dollar value you can put on it, but it's costly for us. And so to give up something that would occupy our time and to replace in that slot, if you like, time with God. That's our Lenten challenge. I would like us to really lock into that as much as possible. Jesus took the time in the wilderness to set himself apart. And that's the whole idea with Lent, to take some time and set ourselves apart. In those moments when you would be watching television or however you would be spending some time, instead of doing X, spend time with God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean having to sit down in prayer or in Bible study, although I would really like to see that happening as well. It could be spending your time in some other way that's giving, in some other way that you wouldn't normally be doing to give some time for some other enterprise or some other person. It may be spending some time on the phone with someone to chat with them. It may be spending some time in someone's home just for a couple of minutes here and there. It may be picking up the phone and talking to somebody you haven't spoken to in a long time. That's your Lenten sacrifice of your time. That's that setting that time apart. That's that, Lord, use me in a special way where I would normally be doing something else. It's that sense of fasting or giving up this to do this instead. You know, we think about wilderness and Jesus has spent 40 days and nights. We need to consider what might be our wilderness for each one of us in this congregation. And again, I go back to that analogy of sitting on the bus. I got to tell you, for me, it's incredibly vivid. Instead of wasted hours sitting on a bus, which is what a lot of people, I know my kids hate riding the bus. We tell them about riding them, oh, it's wasted time. I got to wait for the bus and the bus is so slow. It's just wasted time to them. But I know for me, it was wonderful time. Wonderful time when I could just sit quietly for a change. Wonderful time when I could be thinking about God. I could be thinking about other things or about people. Take a moment to be praying. For me, that analogy of the bus ride is perfect. I know I'm going to a specific place. I know there'll be some stops along the way. It's an opportunity to spend time with God. Lent as a church holy day, again, as I mentioned, is not specifically scriptural. It's a church tradition, but it's a tradition with very good roots and very good intention. We need to remember always why we're going through Lent, and it is this journey that we're taking to Easter. So again, I want to just emphasize for all of us as we begin today. Last week we put the Alleluia in that box and covered it. We're going to talk about that in our last hymn today. The idea is that we put some things away so that we can begin this journey over the next 40 days of thinking about where God wants us to be, where God has had us in the past, where God has us now. Lots of things to be thinking about when you put it in those particular ways. And Jesus is a fine example of that. And as he spent that time in the wilderness, because he was reflecting, I believe, this is why this temptation came into his life. Satan always spoke to him in this story that's there, telling him a truth. You're the Son of God, therefore this should be true. And Jesus had an answer for that and a response to that. And it happened over those three times. There are lots of numbers that are very important in that particular illustration as well. But Jesus had an answer for that because he had been spending that time not just wandering around, but in reflection. Our challenge is the same. You know, it says somewhere, we hear it all the time, kind of in these common sayings that go out, the point often is not the destination, often it's the journey. And that's exactly what Lent is for us. It's not just the destination, it's the journey that we take to get there, and all of the steps involved. And if Lent has been anything for us, in the sense of being meaningful and spiritually uplifting, it will make the destination even that much more wonderful and awesome when we get there. Because we're building up to it, not just rolling into it. Building up to it, not just rolling into it. We're on a grand journey to Easter, on this Easter coach lines. And with every stop along the way, there's something more even wonderful to see. And that's what Sundays are for us. Those stops along the way. Let's consider those stops as opportunities for all of us to explore, to reflect, to watch, and to listen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to understand Lent and to anticipate with all of our being, all of who we are, that cross event that's coming up. Help us to truly be filled during this journey so that the destination can be even that much more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, as God so freely offers us the gift of life in Jesus, let us now respond with our tithes and offerings with gratitude and thanks. Amen. Lord, we thank you again for the many blessings that you bestow upon us from day to day. Bless this offering, Lord, to your glory, to your honor, and to the kingdom being presented in our community and other communities. We thank you, and we ask that you bless this now. In Jesus' name, amen. Seated. Flowers in the sanctuary today have been lovingly placed by Kathy Wilson in memory of her husband Ian. Thank you very much, Kathy, for doing that today. And you brought a lovely picture in of him. That's nice to see as well. Thank you for doing that so we can take a moment to see the photo and look at the flowers today if you can. As we begin our prayers for the people, lots has been on my mind, especially I know of all of us in the last little while, sort of in a bigger picture idea. Most of the news that I get is through online news feeds from the various places here in Canada, the big CBC and whatnot. I also have news feeds that come in from Australia because our son is down there, just to keep up on that, and from some different news feeds in Europe. And I do that because it also reminds me when I was younger, I used to listen to shortwave radio a lot. And I like to listen to news from around the world to compare what's being broadcast about the news. And clearly, this coronavirus that's going around is on the headlines right around our world. In every country that's broadcasting news, that's what they're talking about. And I just saw this morning that they closed the Louvre in Paris because of the coronavirus. And they've banned any gatherings of 5,000 people or more in France in general. This is a great burden on the world at large. But I feel that one of the things we need to be praying about is the sense of fear that this is bringing about. And it's manifesting itself in all kinds of different ways. Some countries are banning Asian people from freely moving them in their population. And we're becoming afraid to even shake hands. We're becoming afraid to interact with one another in so many ways. And there's a certain amount of that needs to be respected, I guess, in the sense of we need to be taking care not to spread things around. And we've been probably more aware of that in the last few years. I know a lot of us do the elbow handshake, so to speak, when we've got colds like Richard and I, you know, and others have had. But the fear that can undermine us, we need to be praying that God can take that from us and give us a confidence that we need. And this is a global concern as well as very local. So it's one of the things I want us to remember as we bow our heads in prayer for other people in our world at large. So let's do that. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this particular time from Sunday to Sunday that we can gather to pray for others in our lives and for issues that we see around the world. Lord, we unite our hearts right now in this prayer against fear, so to speak. It's a big ask, Lord, because fear is something that can just grip us all the time, all of a sudden, very powerfully. And we can see that there's our governments around the world in response to trying to control this virus that's moving around and has, you know, deaths surrounding it. People are reacting out of fear in some cases and overreacting in some ways, and other places aren't reacting at all out of fear. Lord, give us the peace we need, especially at this time of the year when we're thinking about Lent and we're thinking about Easter. Give us the peace that we need. And in that ask for peace, Lord, we also pray for those, everybody in here in this room knows someone that needs peace, knows someone that's struggling with something in their lives, whether it's a physical illness or an emotional illness or a spiritual concern, and they need your intervention. And so, Lord, we take a moment now, we think of those names, and we say some of those names out loud. We do that now. Yeah. Lord, thank you for these names that have been said silently and out loud. Thank you for the act of faith and in a sense the act of bravery that's taken to name them, to put them before you for an intervention of your Spirit in their lives. You know what's going on and you know who all is involved. And we thank you, Lord, that you honor this. Lord, we offer all of these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin our portion of this service for communion, we did something very special last time we had communion. We had the children come in from Sunday school and they sat up in the balcony. This time we've invited the children to come down and sit in our midst. And we're trying some different ways of having the children be part of what we do in communion service. And, you know, in consultation with Session and certainly in consultation with many of you, and certainly I know as I've been reading and studying this topic for a long time now too, having our children with us during special moments such as this I think is incredibly important. It's great that we have the Sunday school and Michelle doing so wonderful work and the helpers with her, but it's also I think important for the children to be a part of these kinds of special moments that they can share with us in that sense, that they can be with us and see what's going on. Without going on too long, folks, I just want to say that where I'm coming from in this particular instance is often, historically what's happened in the church today is that we have sort of sent the children off for Sunday school lessons, and they go through the Sunday school, some of them even go through a youth program, and then they're invited back here. Now, I want you to think about the optics, I'll put that word on it for you, about this. The children go off to Sunday school and they color and they draw and they do activities and they sing songs and they maybe watch videos nowadays, and then they come in here and do exactly what you're doing right now, which is sitting still for an hour and a half. It's a big change. And sometimes there's been people wondering, is that maybe why some of our young people aren't staying in church? Not that we want to do coloring and watch videos through church, although I wouldn't mind, I suppose, sometimes. But the idea is that there's a contrast. We need to be integrating them into what we do here. Sitting still and listening, there's an important aspect of that so that we can hear God speak to us and we can focus. That's the intention. And we want our children to be a part of that. So having sort of a back and forth for them, I think, is vitally important. And I apologize for spending this much time talking about this, but I think it's important that we understand that we're trying to nurture our children in all ways through our Sunday school program and through having them in the service just as today. So we begin our communion portion, and we are so glad to have our children with us this morning. Hear the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus. The Lord, on the night of his arrest, he took bread and broke it, and after giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. With thanksgiving, let us offer our grateful praise to God. We'll do that and remain seated as we do. We'll sing number 400, Spirit of the Living God, verses 1 and 2. ask that you please now stand as we unite our hearts in the Apostles' Creed, as printed in your bulletins. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and as you do, you can turn to 564 in your hymn books for this great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, you've made us in your image, and you have truly kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin, which we read about today in that beginning story in Genesis. We give thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we join our voices with the whole creation to lift our hearts in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial to his sacrifice to do and remember and honor until he comes again. At his Last Supper, the Lord took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat and drink this cup and eat this bread, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. And now, Lord, we unite our hearts in the prayer that Jesus taught us using the words debts and debtors. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We who are many are one, for we are of the same loaf. The cup which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The cup we drink is our participation in the blood of Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared this table for everyone who loves him and trusts him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, for those moments where we stepped away from God's call in our lives, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and those who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, all are now invited to come with gladness to this table of the Lord. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take, eat. Thanks be to God. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take, drink. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you've fed us in this sacrament, that you've started us off in so many ways, in a grand way for this Lenten journey. You've united us with Christ. You've given us a taste of what is to come, so that this journey has a destination that will be glorious. Lord, keep us in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory, all for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn today is number 625, Seek Ye First. And if you remember last Sunday, we put Alleluia in here. And this song has the word Alleluia in it. And we're going to be silent when we get to that word. Renata will play it for us, and then we will carry on. So whenever you see the word Alleluia in this song, you know, we're just going to... So you really got to pay attention to this particular one. Seek Ye First, number 625. Stars this morning, so very good. And now, as we begin this journey, continue our journey through Lent, may God surround you through these next 40 days or so in an everlasting sense of his presence as we think about the journey and consider the destination, and that God takes us in this awesome kind of way to that place. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and your coming in, in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until we all come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks.